It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Yeah, and I did okay for a while. I resisted for a while, but again, I wasn't walking closely with the Lord. I wasn't leaning on Him for His strength. And, you know, that's how I fell back into addiction. And then I had friends that moved in with me when she moved out, or people that I was around that were offering me the same things that I was introduced to all those years ago, to give them rides across town or just to hang out, you know. And I slipped into addiction, which was, that was my rock bottom.
Did you realize you were in trouble?
Well, that's the thing about drug addiction that's so hard to explain, because it really is like a demon, because you are so helpless. You feel like you can't go to work a job unless you have what you need, because when you're on opiates and things like that, you're literally sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go too long, you literally feel like you have the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine that,
yeah.
So then when you can't make it to work, then you lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, how do I? Then you spend every day waking up figuring out how you're going to get your fix so that you can even make it through a day and not feel like you're dying, right? And it's just really awful. Rinse, wash, repeat. Same thing every day. And so it was just really taxing, and it's kind of a big blur for me. Really, that whole period of time. I mean, you know, sin has a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one sin leads to another. So
I have a brother who struggled with heroin usage for many years, and kind of had a similar story. I've had a knee surgery, got onto Percocets as you did, and just kind of eventually spiraled out of control. And he kind of describes the experience very similarly to you, actually, in that he goes, I remember you'd wake up, you'd get high, and he goes, then you'd be high, and you'd think about how, like, all right, man, I'm ready to be done doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. And he goes, then it would start to wear off. And like you said, he goes, once you start feeling sick, then you just figure out any way you can to not feel sick.
And I think that's what causes a lot of the crime for drug addicts. Why a lot of them start dealing drugs is because they need to supply their own habit, and they can't hold a job.
Right.
You know what I mean? So then they start stealing or doing whatever they need to do to just get what they need. It's really awful. There's so much hurt there for me when I look back at it. Jesus has brought me from so much to where I don't talk about it too much or think about it usually too much, because there's a lot of stuff that is just, it's so much better now with Christ.
Right. Sure.
You have these moments where you realize what you're doing is wrong. You know, I was still that kid that was raised in church. You know, I was taught about Jesus as a kid.
Right. So, I mean, you had God's standards of morality.
Yeah, I was controlled by this substance. You know, it's almost like
somebody else,
almost
had
like possession or something.
Somebody
you know?
Else had your leash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when I realized I couldn't hold a job, and then there was that struggle, like, okay, I'm totally messing up and I don't know what I'm going to do. But at the same time, you almost just kind of give in because you feel so helpless.
What you're describing is what I've heard many say, and the phrase it this way, that it went from something that I did that something that was doing me, you know, it had control of me. It became who I was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody, I think as a kid says they want to grow up and be a heroin addict.
Right. Right.
Well, and that's, you know, people lose their humanity sometimes when you know, we see people who are kind of strung out and living on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd never be me. Like, they never thought it was going to be them either.
Right.
Right. I realized I was at rock bottom. I mean, going to jail will do that.
Mm, yeah.
Whenever you're stripped of everything. And I remember I would go to jail like a couple times and would be released. And
did you look good in orange?
No. And it was awful. And it was awful, right? I didn't have a purpose. I just felt like my whole world was stripped from me.
Sure.
And then,
I mean, in some cases, it was, right? You were taken, all your freedom was taken away.
Just sweating it out, the withdrawals. I hadn't had my burning bush moment yet, so I didn't really feel like I had a purpose. All I could think about was how much better I'd feel if I was out, you know, with everybody else, and how everybody else was free and I wasn't. And that happened a few times, and then eventually I went to jail. And then I'll never forget it. A CO, a correctional officer, came up and said, Kendrick, I don't know if these are exact words, something along these lines. He said, Kendrick, do you want a clergy visit?
Mm.
And I thought, well, I'm thinking to myself, clergy, isn't that like a pastor, you know, or a priest? I said, well, if you'll get me out of here for a few minutes, you know, I'll go down and talk to whoever wants to talk to me.
Anything's better than this.
Right. So I went down, and it was a guy by the name of Dave Fawcett. And I think this guy was just led by the Lord. I think he was a deacon at Trinity Baptist Church. Because I saw he had a list in his hand of people that he was going to go talk to. And he said, "Can I talk to you a minute about Jesus?" And I said, "Sure." I humbled myself. I said, "You know, I know about the Lord, but I'm willing to humble myself and hear it again, you know?"
Sure. Like, I'm here to let you know I haven't been walking with him. I can still tell now as you talk about it, it still seems like it brings emotion out of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can really feel the, this really is a turning point in your life.
Like, oh, yeah.
I remember this guy as a... You know, hey, do you want this? You want this clergy visit? Like, that feels like an offer from the Lord, right? Like,
it's even hard to encompass everything that I've felt in words. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the love of God. Like, our human words can't totally describe how awesome God's love is. Right. You know, but he pointed to his wrist. He leaned in as he talked to me, and he said, "We're all of one blood." And he started with Adam and Eve, and told the whole story of salvation through Jesus Christ's birth, his ministry, his death, and resurrection. And I accepted the Lord right there. And then he said, "Go read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and start with the book of John, right? Start with the Gospel of John," which is common. But I went back up and I started reading my Bible for the first time in years, since I was a kid. So there was an immediate shift where the Holy Spirit started to work in my life. And I opened my Bible and I started to read the Beatitudes. And I thought, wow, I said, we're blessed. Like, I don't have to be like everybody else. I don't have to fit in with the world. I can be meek. I can be humble and just kind how I was as a kid.
So you're basically,
and I'm actually blessed and accepted by God that way.
Sure. And you're coming to the conclusion.
Right.
And I had this myself. It sounds to me like you're kind of figuring out, like, I was never meant to be like everyone else.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Here I was on this journey my whole life to discover myself, but I was myself in the beginning, you know, and God brought me full circle back to who I was as a child. And it was shortly after that that I was released and went and got baptized at the Trinity Baptist Church. And this is something I don't share too often or go into too much detail with, but heard the Lord speak to me. And he revealed himself to me in a way that was as real for me as that sun that comes up in the morning each every day. In that moment, when I realized that he was real, heaven's a real place that awaits us, I curled up in a fetal position and cried for like 20 minutes. I didn't cry like that when my kids were born into the world. I felt like in that moment, like God was just looking at me as if I was like his only son, like his only child, right? Even though we know that's not true, but that's how I felt. And then I had this overwhelming sense of peace. Mm-hmm. That just felt like everything is going to be okay. Even after all that struggle, all that pain, and not just for myself, I was thinking about my family, my loved ones, how there's this search for meaning and purpose. You know, everybody in the secular world, you know, is looking for meaning and purpose. And
sure. That's why when living in the secular world, we're all constantly wandering because you can't find purpose in it.
Right. Exactly.
There is none.
And then I thought, oh man, this means something. Of course, I was confused because here the Holy Spirit was just being outpoured into my life, right? At the same time, I'm trying to come off of drugs. So it's like I'm witnessing these little signs and miracles from the Lord. At the same time, he's pruning me and rescuing me. And it was a little trippy, you know? And it didn't last long. I slipped up. Failed a urine test and had to go back. And this time they revoked my bond. I was there for 9 months, but that happened within weeks after I heard from the Lord. So then I went into jail this time with a purpose. And you know, I could realize like, hey, God chastises us because he loves us. Right. I needed to go in there.
I was just going to say, so this actually, this turned out to you to be a detox period. And
yes.
And then probably a period of great study and learning.
Yeah, detox, but it was more like I didn't really have to come off of it as far as the withdrawals, but I would mess up and like, oh, nope, I got to get back on the horse and mess up, get back on the horse. This just removed that, you know, until
this took your crutch away, basically.
Yeah.
It's weird way to say this, but it was almost like going to a monastery. You got to go to a place where things are provided. You're in a safe place to be able to study and learn some disciplines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just had God and the Bible and people to witness to.
Right. Right. And so you get to practice that as well. You get to share your faith with people who also were in need, who are right where you were when that minister met you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about this, and God works in mysterious ways, but I was in jail that last stint. So it's like all within a month period, got saved, got baptized, heard from the Lord, went back to jail. I just felt this time like, man, I have a purpose. Look at all these guys in here that need to know that Jesus is real. Like, I just felt like I had a responsibility.
You had a ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I was in there for 9 months and I thought, if I'm being reborn. So yeah, I became known as preacher in there. That was my nickname. I would pray for people who were anxious that just came in and lay hands on them and pray for them and would just have Bible studies and get everybody riled up to go to the church. And it just became my mission.
So this is like From the Cell Ministries you launched here.
Yeah, in fact, I look at, it's kind of strange because I look back at those 9 months as like a very fond time of my life because there was such an opportunity to lead people to the Lord there.
Sure.
You know, and what I found is that these men in there, like many of them are hurting and they come from broken homes and they're heartbroken and they were receptive.
Well, sure. I mean, once again, as we just said a little bit ago, nobody started out going, man, I want to live a life in prison.
Like, right.
Nobody wants to do that. Now, people end up there inevitably, obviously, but nobody started out wanting to do
that. And I realized, like, these guys just wanted to know that they had a God, that they were loved, and they were seen, like sure. I was. You know, I think sometimes for us, our lives become a distraction. I mean, it's all based on your own merit, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then you think you're doing okay, and you have everything going for you. Do I need to go to church? Well, and Satan's just always going to tell you that you're fine, how you are, you mm-hmm. know. Here, these guys were stripped of everything. They knew they were messing up. No matter how tough they act, I think many of them knew in their heart that they wanted change.
Right.
And so I was trying to just bring Jesus to them. It lasted for a while where I would pray once I got out just before Christmas in 2017. I would pray for these guys, you know, and they're on my heart. And I've kind of slipped from that. I can't remember all their names now. It's been a long time. That was about 8 years ago. Now I'm out and I'm telling my mom and dad, like, I'm telling you guys, I heard from the Lord, you know, like I have a purpose now. And I don't know. It took a while for everybody in my family and in my life to witness the change, for them to really sure. to well, buy I mean, into it, you know.
If it's anything yeah. like what we experienced with my brother anyways, it's kind of a... Hey man, you've been saying you're going to do something for a long time, right. but like your words and your actions aren't lining up.
Right.
Right.
But then eventually his actions and his words did line up and he got it and it clicked and he hasn't looked back.
Yeah. And that's how it was for me. And shortly after, you know, I was asked to, I was meeting with my pastor there at St. Mark's in Findlay and was asked to share my testimony like I'm doing today mm-hmm. in front of the church. And I was frozen in fear. My pastor sensed a calling in me, and then I went through the whole candidacy to become a pastor. So here I am today, serving, still learning every day. And so in March 17th, so 3/17/17 is the day that I went to jail, and I was sober, you know, walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that'll be 8 years.
Wow. So you're coming up here real soon on that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's amazing what can happen in 8 years, huh?
Yeah, and I met my my beautiful wife, Courtney, you know, and the, both my kids live with me, and God is just almost, it's like a Job thing.
I'm just going to say, so you went from losing everything, essentially, to getting it back with interest.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like with God, like, in some ways, like, it's so much easier to just walk with Jesus because you know he goes before you, you know, after you know him and you try to go against his will, it's like going against the current, you know? Mm-hmm. So I find the more that I walk with Jesus and abide in his will, the better the outcome in my life.
On your journey back, could you think of a time, maybe not even related to this, but a more of a crossroads moment in your life that maybe since then that you've really had to rely on your faith to, hey, this is a point I could turn back to the way I once was, but now I'm different. So I'm going to keep moving forward in what I know to be true.
Yeah, I can't. So it's one of the reasons why I didn't go into drug and alcohol counseling is because my story just feels different. Like I see guys that just continuously struggle and struggle and struggle. And I've just focused on my testimony, meaning like, I don't want, like what happened to me that the Lord spoke to me is something that I don't ever want to stomp on.
The AA model, I don't want to poo-poo on it, but
yes, you do.
I really don't. But it's almost a works-based focus where it's like, look what I can do. Everything I'm hearing you say is look what God did.
Yeah. Well, when I went through the drug court program, and part of that, the requirement was that I had to go to NA meetings and things. And so I just looked at it as an opportunity to share the gospel. People didn't want to hear it. But I said, hey, even if I could just, every time I went to one of those meetings, I felt this overwhelming pressure, this weight on my chest. Like, don't open your mouth. Don't speak about Jesus here. Yeah.
Where that was from.
Yeah. Because there were people in there who were openly like, this is, you know, not a Judeo-Christian thing. That's why I'm here. And even still, I was like, all right, Lord, I'm leaning on you. Even if all I could must get out was just like, I got this much time because Jesus saved me. Yeah.
There's personal choices. But I think the whole thing is, whether we're talking drugs or people are pursuing a career, it's a different addiction. There's all kinds of addictions.
Sure.
But even exercise can be an addiction. Yeah. We're all going to surrender to something. No matter how it's couched, in the end, there's way more things that we surrender to that are for our destruction. And God is always for our good. And when you surrender to God, you still have choices to make to follow him. But all the things the world promises to give you, God already does.
Yeah, the treasure you find in Jesus, it lasts forever.
Yeah, it lasts forever.
Mm. Yep. You learn in God that what really matters at the end of all this is our relationship with him and with others. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And I think with my story, the purpose that God is using it for is to remind people that we should never look at others as less than us just because they're afflicted with a sickness or even if they're possessed, but they're those who need our prayers and our support, right? And those people that we may count as, man, they're so far gone, may one day be preaching the gospel boldly, right?
So on our best day, we are all beggars in search of the same bread.
Amen.
And that is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Man. So,
amen.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where that whole common, we're all common in blood, man. And we all came from the same guy, Adam, but more than that, we came from the same God.
Right.
He desires a relationship with us.
Absolutely.
And if we could just stop chasing this other stuff, man, turn around and embrace the real treasure. Wow, would your life be different?
Well, in closing, Doug, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your testimony. I think it's going to be one that people are really going to, even if they can't personally relate to your experience, I think at this point we all have a relative, a close friend who has been impacted in some way by addiction, right? And I think if we all took an audit of our lives, as Jeff said, man, there's a million different addictions. It might be to coffee, to food, to exercise, to TV watching, to anything. Anything.
Yep. Anything can become an addiction. So
if we're going to be addicted to something, maybe we could shift that into being addicted to the Lord.
Absolutely. Amen.
Jeff, in closing, you want to pray us out?
Yeah, let's pray. God, I thank you for Doug and his courage to share. And I know there are people out there who can identify and want the same healing in their life and the same relationship with you. And we are just so grateful that you love us in spite of our failures. And Lord, as Tyler just said, if we're going to be obsessed about something, why can't it be you? So I pray that you would feed that fire for us and help us all to yearn for what is good, what is right, what is just, and that is you, and to pursue what will last forever. May you always be our treasure. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.